शावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Yeah, sorry, I didn't see any of this. Because actually I was not even here. Wasn't here. I didn't see any of these essays and what I got. So we finished the 11th chapter. We did, right? And okay. So any questions to? The 11th or anything before, is there?
This was the one with remembrance and meditation, right?
Yeah, the techniques.
Okay, just to be absolutely certain, remembrance is more a passive and external thing, like pictures or things you surround yourself with that remind you of Krishna, where meditation is internal and active. Is that?
Yeah. Yes. Now, remembrance can also be a meditation. No? The part actually, like when you say not always remember Krishna, that means always meditate on Krishna.
Yeah.
But remembrance as such, now the definition would be more of the passive, because remember just yes, okay, I remember.
Yeah.
But what do you do with it?
Yeah.
When you do something about it, then you act on it. Mm-hmm. So that would be more, you know, the action of meditation.
Okay. Yeah.
So chapter 12, then further aspects of transcendental service. So what is the importance of hearing the revealed scriptures? According to Srila Prabhupada Goswami, any book which gives enlightenment in the matter of advancing in devotional service is considered to be revealed scripture. In the Skanda Purana, there is this statement: a person who is constantly engaged in reading literature enunciating the cultivation of Vaishnava devotional service is always glorious in human society, and certainly Lord Krishna becomes pleased with him. A person who is very carefully keeps such literature at home and offers respectful obeisances to it becomes freed from all sinful reactions and ultimately becomes worshipable by the demigods. So this is how we properly hear and understand the regular scriptures. Now again, we should not take it that it's just a ritual, right? So we have Bhagavad Gita, we put it on the altar, pay obeisances to it, but we do all kind of nonsense, whatever we want to do. That's hypocrisy. Now, to properly respect the regular scriptures is that we follow the instructions of the revealed scriptures. So it's not just to keep properly, keep such literature at home and offer respectful obeisances to it. That doesn't mean then just keep it on the altar, offer obeisances and then you don't act like you have one. Then we will become like these Christians. Yes?
Can reading the Bhagavad Gita, can that be considered paying obeisances to it? Or is that...
Reading?
Yeah, reading it. Is that kind of like honoring it? Like we say we honor prasad by taking prasad. So
you see, we don't have problem physically offering obeisances to the scriptures.
No.
So, no, we should not look for kind of like, oh, can I just read it and then that means that I pay obeisance. It should not be like an excuse. But so we can definitely pay obeisances to the scriptures. But that's not it. The ritual, it's not it. We should read it. And then reading it, again, not it. To learn the verses just by heart, it's not it. What is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? Apply in our life. Pariprata Pariprasna Sevaya. It's one of the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Means we have to render service, not in proper mood, then apply it, to be able to properly inquire. And then when we inquire, then with the proper attitude, then we will be able to understand and to realize what we should do. If you don't do service and your attitude is being proud, then if you inquire, then the inquiry will be most likely very challenging, just to prove the other person wrong. But with that attitude, you won't get realization. You won't know what to do. And it's a problem. So we should be able to distinguish between what's the just ritual and what is the essence of the ritual. Same like with the initiation. Same with anything else, eating prasad, taking bath, going for darshanarati. Anything you do. So there is a habit, or it's a ritual, or it's a duty, or whatever it may be. But that's not really the essence. There is a deeper point now in that. And if we understand that essence, if we understand what it is about, then we can actually take advantage of that particular ritual. We gain knowledge, and applying it, we get realization by doing it. So that's ultimately what we should do. That this is what we should understand. Now there are some devotees and they are already realizing the situation in the world not getting any better. And so they may be few which they take it what we will do, or this is so bad on this, that. But there are growing number of devotees, and they actually realize how great opportunity it's coming for us for preaching. This is now become to the point people being in distress. People being in distress, now they will be able to take up devotional service more easily. But again, as Srila Prabhupada makes the point that who are those who actually can take proper advantage of devotional service? Out of those four who are willing to take up devotional service, who is the most likely one take it up and continue? Right. So why do we bother with those three others?
That might be.
They may be. But we have to take advantage of this. Is they have certain time when they may be and they will be. But our duty is to develop their knowledge. They must become knowledgeable about what is there for them. So you have to show them you care for them. And not just, you know, like that Jehovah's Witnesses, right? You should show them actually how you care for them. So then when you do that, you will give them gyan. And not just gyan, you will give them vigyan. So those devotees, then they will be eager to take up the devotional service. No. So again, we should see the principle, not that just there are four categories, or this guy, he is in distress, so he may not take the devotional service, so let it be up to him. Knowing that, well, jnanis are the most likely to take up devotional service. How to give him the jnan? He is in distress, and he is very able now to take devotional service. Give him the knowledge. Give him the realization that yes, the devotional service is the essence of his life. So then he will take up the devotional service. That's the process. Not being passive. Okay, this guy, maybe. Okay, I'll wait. And this guy, okay. That's not how to help him. He's eager. He's a little bit interested. Let him be more interested. If we can do that, if we can actually help the people this way, then they will be able to embrace the Krishna consciousness very easily. This is the essence of preaching. To show them how the people can apply not anything in their own life. So we should not get stuck in our dogmas. We should come out of... And we may have some conditioning now by being brought up in a certain place or not doing certain things. But if we continue the process of devotional service, this will go away. But until they go away, we should not get stuck in that oh, because of this, I cannot do anything else. We can still apply the process and we can still preach about the process. We can teach the people. We can show them how things should be done. And if we apply it, they apply it. So preaching to the people will help us to be stronger in overcoming our own difficulties. And the people seeing that, well, we had some weaknesses, but no, we got rid of it, they will get the strength to also get over their own problems. So we should not be afraid to acknowledge that, okay, we have also weaknesses. To acknowledge is the first step how to get rid of them. So it's not a problem. But then we should be very determined, okay, but I don't want them. And then we will be able to overcome this. So for that, hearing the revealed scriptures, understanding, applying the essence of the revealed scriptures, that helps us, and then we can help others. Yes?
Does the Bible and the Quran and other so-called revealed scriptures come into this category?
You see, I didn't really study any of these. But from what I know, that the Quran teaches basically similar, as the Vedas, but not on the highest platform. It does something of Dharma, but at least the morality. And if people would follow the Quran, they would be in better situation than they are now. And same with the Bible. If people would follow the Bible, now there are the Ten Commandments. If people would follow that, then they would have better understanding of what Christianity is. I know some, Christians, that generally there are these preachers, in the village, and those are vegetarian, they are very focused, they preach to the people, but they're low profile, preachers, but they follow very strictly the Bible. They are very humble, very meek, very simple people. But because of that, they are very powerful. So they understand the essence and they follow it. And then they have some capacity to preach to a certain amount of people. They do. And the people are very happy with them and they follow. But there are class of people, as anywhere else, not in the conditioned world, right? The conditioned soul, they are such that they try to take advantage of others. So then they will take up the Bible and they will misinterpret it their own way. And it may work for some time, maybe even hundreds of thousands of years. But it will stop. Now, actually, I don't know in America, but in Europe, it's the religion. I mean, the religion. Religion counted on how many people come to visit the church, right? So it's declining, and this is the lowest point ever they had. More and more people are becoming atheists. I mean, they were already atheists anyway, but. Now it's just, they don't even mind showing it. They don't care anymore. So they don't know what to do. How to get people to the church? People don't care anymore.
In Denmark, many people are proud to be atheists. They're showing it, really preaching atheism.
Well, yeah, that's like with the circus. No, okay, if I'm atheist, then everybody else should be.
Yeah.
No, and then just we'll do. Like in London, they had the campaign about there is no God. So then they just showed, they had a huge campaign, some billionaire sponsored that, and they had advertisements everywhere. There is no God. So that there were some Christians that were jumping up and down, why this, why? But the main person behind it, who is actually leading it, I have watched his. He had some talk on a TV with. Some Christian, he's sort of like a scientist, but he is a very staunch Christian, and he applies, he is actually applying it. Now, so the atheist, he lost. He could not really argue anything. He's very weak. His only strong point is that he's just loud. And that he just, because of that, he gets many people on his side. But that's about it. If you actually argue,
if you not bring points, and points especially on based on relationship, he doesn't know what to do. He has no idea. So, and this is where the whole movement is standing on. But he can do it because the Christianity has the same position. What do they know? The Christianity tells you that the humans have soul and the animals have no soul. And the Pope, he accepts the theory of evolution. Right? So that, okay, the animals evolve into the man. So now animals have no soul, and then how come does the man has the soul? When does the man get the soul? So it's so contradictory, because there is no base, there is no knowledge. So naturally there is no vigya, because they do not apply any of this. No, they had when Jesus then left, and so then they have many gospels, tens, maybe hundreds of gospels. The gospels are basically like smriti, that certain devotees would write their own experiences, and there were many. Knowing now that they were writing that actually the God, well, Jesus, he is the son of the God, right? And the God has a male and female form. And then our responsibility is to serve them. But that was not exactly what for the church was very beneficial to know. So many of these gospels, they got burned. Only what was left is what served properly the church. So it's very, very difficult to deal with it. So they made it what benefits them for their own purposes. So, thou shall not kill, right, means humans, but animals no problem because they have no soul. But where does that come from? It's not from the Bible. Moses didn't preach that. So, where? It's just because of our conditioning, we get so not entangled in that we want to now gratify our senses, and we don't know how to do it properly, so we will find our own way how to adjust so we will interpret the scriptures to our means. But then the scriptures lose their meaning, because we are not following the scriptures, we are following our own mind. It's an apparat. And we know that, so we have to avoid that. But we have to have knowing, we have to know how to, what is the principle behind, the essence. Otherwise we will also get into this trap. All we can do, no. Other acharyas did change something, so no, we can also change. What is this nonsense? They didn't change anything. They know how to apply the scriptures based on time, place, and circumstance. And they may write an explanation on it. But it's not a change. So when we do the same thing, not being an acharya, then we will make a change, and then it will create different mood. And then we will be doomed. So we have to be very careful, because people will be very soon coming and asking, what does this mean? And we have to know. Not speculate. There are many issues now going on which devotees and even senior devotees don't know how to deal with. History was like that before. You see, why there are so many Muslims in India? Because the Brahmanas, at the time when the Mughals came in, did not really know what to do. Because, okay, what do the Muslims do? They go and sprinkle water on a Hindu, and now we are Muslim. So then when they would come to the Brahmanas and ask, what should we do? Now, this guy just sprinkled some water on me, and then I'm supposed to be now contaminated, and I'm supposed to be converted to be Muslim. So then the Brahmanas could only find that, okay, now you have to drink molten lead to be freed of the sin. So then they didn't want to die, so then they, okay, so I'm Muslim. And they became Muslims. Why? Because these Brahmanas didn't know how to apply the situation according to the time and place. They could have gone, jump into Ganga in their clothes, and they are purified. So, okay, you sprinkle water, I'll just wash it. But these people, I'm not going to drink the molten lead because they are really smarter, so much into the ritual, so I have to do that. And then the Brahma didn't find solution, so then they become Muslim. Now, when they become Muslims, so then now we are ostracized from the Hindu society, so now we have to get into the Muslim society, and to be accepted by the Muslim society, we have to become better than them. So they will become even stronger and much more serious in things what the Muslims do, including killing cows. So it's very, very smart, and it's based on ignorance. So we have to also be very careful not to get into things like that. Scriptures prohibit certain things, and we have to know how to deal with. We have to know how to apply everything based on time, place, and circumstance, knowing how to apply the principle. Then we can give proper solutions. These solutions will work. People will apply them. Then they will be happy that they did. And then they will come for more solutions. And then they will get the trust that, yes, we can actually help them to solve their problems. Not the politicians, not anybody else, but Krishna consciousness. So if we can do that, then we can successfully say actually that we can preach the Krishna consciousness all over the world. And then we can fulfill Srila Prabhupada's mission. The potential is there. Now we have to get the devotees to understand it and to educate themselves how to do it. Yes.
Some devotees may be very simple, and they don't necessarily themselves have to understand so well, but they have the guidance of more senior devotees. In that case, those Hindus that became Muslim, they were seeking advice from the Brahmins, and didn't get good advice. So with some devotees that are not so able to understand the philosophy, if the leaders are, then they're protected.
Right. See, the Kshatriya is they must be there, so leadership must be there. But how does leader become a leader? You need to have some brahmana, you need to have the education first. So it's there that through the education, through practice, then one is able to lead. Some may lead just few people, some may lead countries. That's individual capability. But everybody at some point must lead in his life. At least oneself. No. But some may extend the capability on thousands of, maybe millions of people. So, and then he must know how to apply things. So then if he has capability and he has so many responsibilities that way, then he may also not be able to see everything very clearly. Because he will be very busy. That's why all these kings, they have the ministers whose duty is only to find the right solutions to the problems. And the king has trust in them, so then he follows their advice. So the system is perfectly made. So we go around, we preach to the people what to do based on our own knowledge, our own experience, our own realization. That means we apply it ourselves. Then we go around and preach it to others. So then people will follow. When there is a need that, they follow, they see that it works. So then naturally they will ask, so you helped me. Now I feel, it works, but how to make it work for everybody else? So then there will be a need for a leader who will be able to lead all the people. But it has to be one who is able to apply these principles in his own life. A person who is living according to the Dharma. Then he will be capable of leading the people.
Should all devotees be trained in spiritual?
They must.
One devotee said to me recently, I'm doing some service for him, and he said, Manaji, I don't read books, I don't like to read. I want you to do all this writing, reading stuff, and I'll just work and I'll do the work, make the money, whatever. But I just thought, it just hit me that he's a very fixed up devotee, devoted to the Guru. So I thought that there's a place for that also, for people like
that. Reading the books, everybody should read the books. Okay, now if somebody is not capable, so Srila Prabhupada also said, if you cannot chant, then go and do some gardening. So you are focused and you can actually do it. Because by doing the service, the menial services, that's for the brahmacharis, you do the menial services, you get a taste for the knowledge. You get a taste for applying the knowledge. If you don't do services, then you don't get the taste. So if somebody is not capable of, say, focusing or reading too much or thinking, it's also not a problem, but he must be engaged in the activities which are beneficial for the Vaishnavas, beneficial for him. Maybe he's simple-minded, but he does devotional service that way, doesn't commit Vaishnava parat, doesn't do politics, then he can benefit. But if he is going to criticize and doing things like that, then he won't benefit. So yeah, it's possible. Like we were saying about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in South, he met a devotee who could not read apparently, but he still was considered as a realized person by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself because he understands the conclusion of the Gita. Maybe not by reading, maybe he heard the Gita sometime somewhere, but he understands the conclusion. The essence that Krishna, he is the supreme, and he is so merciful to everybody that he even serves his own devotee. And all these scholars, they did not understand the conclusion. So at that point, the being a scholar, it's useless. And being simple, it's beneficial. He didn't have to speculate about what does this Sanskrit word mean. He doesn't know Sanskrit probably. So then he is free from all this thinking about it. He doesn't get caught up in it. He knows that Krishna is supreme, I'm his servant, so I'm serving him and that's it. And he perfects his life. No, like it was also that that very old movie Gyaneshwar. It was Gyaneshwar, yeah. And he had a brother and a sister. And actually, what happens is that their father, he was a sannyasi. And then he went away from his wife. And then, so he went to the ashram and became sannyasi. Now the wife could not be without him. So she went to that guru of the ashram and she persuaded him to send him away, not to become grihastha again. So doing so, then he did, and so then the sannyasi then again he fell down and he became grihastha again, and then he had the children. So now he was a brahmana, and now as for the children, now who are they? So the society rejected them. Now, all three, they were quite realized souls. And to sort of help them or to try to resolve the matter, the father and the mother, they took their own lives. So now they were alone and they were rejected from the society. So then they went to, and nobody wanted to take responsibility. Are they supposed to get Upanayanam or not? So they said, no, some Vedas say this, some this say that. No, we don't know. So then they even send them to like the biggest pandit in India at that time, and he was supposed to resolve the matter. Now, to come there, then they try to ridicule them. No, they were just, oh, you are just a bunch of kids, and you get lost. No, get out of here. Then he was he was pure. And they knew some Vedic mantras, you know, and then they tried to ridicule them. Well, no, if you are so qualified, so pure, no, can you make this buffalo chant no Purusha Sukta? And Ganeshwar, he made him chant Purusha Sukta. They were all astonished, no, seeing that he is no, he has power, mystical, no, this, that. So some understood that he is special soul. But they didn't give him upanayana. You see, now I would really like you to get upanayana, but the custom is such, no, you are coming from the fallen, no, father, so no, we cannot do anything. Same thing, same principle. They get so stuck to the lower that they don't know how to achieve the higher. It's not even dharma what they are stuck in. Some justice, some morality. But because of that, they cannot proceed higher. So anyway, he said, forget them. And then all three, then they started to preach Bhagavad Gita in Marathi, no, for the, no, for the people. And they become very, very famous, very much liked there. And they perfected their lives. So they didn't find it as an obstacle. They just went with it and, no, they became devotees. That way. So our own devotees, now we should be very careful, no, to not to fall for it, not to not try to resolve matters by some lower principles when we have something much higher. Not to try to find issues in some morality or not try to solve problems, anything by that, when we know or we should follow dharma. And in fact, the purpose of Daivi Varnashrama Dharma is to elevate one above the dharma. And that's Krishna consciousness. But that must be understood. If it's not, then we will get stuck into Anamoya and Pranamoya platform. Because that's what everybody does. But we are not here to stay on these platforms. We are here to elevate ourselves. But we have to start with ourselves. Yeah? You had a question? So we have to know our scriptures. No, we have to know what these scriptures actually say. So therefore, say like distributing books, it's not just giving physically a book. You have to know what's in it. People will ask you. Well, you may have some techniques how to distribute books and you may become very good in collecting points for it. But this is not a point. Some people may not give any book in their life, but those devotees distribute more books than anybody else. If the devotee, no, make others devotees, if the devotee makes others understand what actually Bhagavad Gita is all about, he is distributing Bhagavad Gita. And about who did more, who distributed more, because he collected more for the temple, and this is all unimportant. Because if we really, really want to dedicate ourselves to build some huge beautiful temple for Krishna, then if we are ready, Krishna has no problem supplying unlimited funds for it. He is the richest. For him, now, few billions of dollars is nothing. It's only us who get stuck on the platform that, if we get just some, at least few thousands and this, that, then we have to work for it hard. Not at all. We have to dedicate ourselves to the mission. We have to also make sure, if we do get the money, are we going to use it for the purpose we said we are going to, or are we going to use it for ourselves? Now, there was another story to illustrate this. There was one old Brahmana, and then he got sick. So he was praying to the deity. It was Durga. And he said, "Please, I'm so sick. Oh, I feel so painful. Everything is, please cure me." Okay, see, if you cure me, then I'll offer you huge amount of riches. I will give you my house." And then he got cured. Then he comes in front. Thank you for curing me. Now, but why would you need a house, actually? No? You have here small temple, it's good enough for you, no? But anyway, thank you. And again he got sick. Oh, sorry. No, please, no, kill me. I'll give you the house. That's what the people listen to. Suffering. And then when they get relief, we forget what they say. That's the conditioning. And many devotees are falling for the same trap. But if we have to do that, if Krishna has to make us suffer for us to understand something, how can we even think about understanding the higher principles? We have to elevate ourselves from that conditioning, what we have. That's what keeps us here. But if we can get above that, not looking for, I need to suffer before I understand that there is something higher than that. And even if we do that, great, it's also all right. It's if we learn from it by experience. I suffered because I was stupid. Now I should not repeat it again. Getting that, it's a realization. Getting this realization elevates us. So to make a mistake, it's not a problem. But what we have to acknowledge the mistake and learn from the mistake. Then we progress. But if we, I made a mistake, but anyway, who cares? No, I can do it again because I get the... No, I can chant the holy name and everything will be perfect. So this mentality will not elevate us anywhere. Then we will just be more and more engrossed in the materialistic way of life. So let's try to apply what we learned. Let's try to preach to others by our own example. And if we do have some problems, we have some difficulties, we did make some mistake, then we may not be, I mean, we should not be really feeling, we may feel a little bit bad about it that we did, but then that's about it. We should think about how we improve on it. Not get angry, oh, I cannot do anything, I'm useless, I'm the biggest loser and I cannot do anything. Then it's a fact that you will not be able to do anything. But rather than that, we should look forward. Okay, I did this. Okay, this was a mistake. Now, how can I overcome this? I may not be able to do it alone. I need association of devotees. And the devotees, I expect that they are going to help me. And the devotees, in fact, should help me. Then, together with them, I can be strong. And if something else happens, some other devotee, then everybody helps him. That's community. This is society. Not to look for opportunity to find mistake on somebody else and immediately ostracize him or mark him that, yes, he is the black sheep and then no, everybody should throw stones at him. That's easy. But how does that purify him or us? And isn't it that we are trying to elevate ourselves? Isn't it that the goal which we are seeking for? So that needs education, needs preaching. Otherwise, no, we end up the same way like the Muslims do. Applying some things which they have no really meaning, they are not mentioned anywhere, but it's just a concoction of some mental speculation. But that we need to be able to apply what we have learned. We have to know. We have to know the principles. Hare Krishna. Do we still have time, or?
When does it close?
I don't know. We started later, no? We started 10 past, so should we go through 10 past? Maybe just last point then. Why is it important to reside in Mathura? In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that all the results of traveling on all the pilgrimages within the three worlds can be achieved simply by touching the holy land of Mathura. And in the Padma Purana, there is a statement about the importance of living at holy places like Mathura. It is stated there, to travel to different places of pilgrimage means to attain emancipation from material bondage. This emancipation, however, is not the highest perfectional stage. After attaining this liberated stage, one has to become engaged in devotional service to the Lord. After attainment of the Brahma-Buddha stage, one can further advance to engagement in devotional service. So this attainment of transcendent loving devotional service to the Lord is the goal of life, and it can be achieved very easily for one who lives in Mathura Mandala, even for a few seconds. In the Varaha Purana, there is also a statement praising the residential quarters or Mathura. Lord Varaha tells the man on earth, any person who becomes attracted to places other than Mathura will certainly be captivated by the illusory energy. See, again, the same principle which you mentioned in the beginning about the revealed scriptures applies about the place of residence, the holy dham. A devotee, can live in holy dham. Not for us, not being, we may not see the devotee physically present in the place which we call holy dham. but the devotee may be residing at that place. On contrary, we may see many people now being in Mayapur or Vrindavan, but they are not even close to being in Vrindavan. So just to get a ticket and to go and be there and do nonsense in holy place, just, oh, for a few seconds, see, this says here, for a few seconds being in Mathura, then I will be a highly elevated person. So therefore I just buy tickets, go there, be there for some moments, do some nonsense in the meantime, because I like to do that, and then come back, and then I should consider myself as a pure devotee. That's a nonsense. So we have to know the principle behind what this means. Once we understand what this instruction means, then we can apply them. We can actually properly explain what it means, and we can of our own we can also get benefit, because we will know how to behave in the Dhamma. What does it mean to be in holy Dhamma? So we should always contemplate on the principles behind the instructions. Yes.
When I think so, Clarence said to me, Michael, you can go to a spiritual place, or you can get the most up-to-date international classes that you want. So you can be, you have to choose.
See, if you really want to know the latest gossip, just go after Sunday Arati today to the courtyard there. You can get anything you want. But if you are not into it, you just don't go there. You don't know what's happening around. No? You can be blissfully ignorant of all the politics, and then just only just boringly mind your own service. No? And there are plenty of such devotees in Mayapur who are just happy to do that. But yeah, if you want to, you can easily go and then just know the latest gossip, the issues, and make your own statements, express your own opinions, how would you deal with it, and that was wrong, and this, that, and he's such a nonsense, and yeah, you can do that. But how does it benefit anybody? That there are people, they go into pub and they discuss the latest issues on their own country, about how the government is useless and how they would run the country, how they would do this. And they feel happy at the end because they think that they could solve the problems. But they could solve nothing. They can just get drunk, that's it. Now, when Srila Prabhupada was here and when he saw that somebody would criticize some other devotee for doing something wrong, then he would make him do it. And then the devotee would stop criticizing. So we should take it seriously, take it just how we should act. We don't have to look for the latest gossip. We can just be blissful with just doing our duties. And it...
So much to do. It's like there's not... It'd be so busy. In my opinion, there's so much service.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So on one hand, we hear that association of devotees is very important, and on the other hand, all this politics and nonsense talk.
Is it association of devotees?
No, but see, this is my point, you know.
Yes.
I mean,
yes, so you have to discriminate.
Yeah.
See, if just being an association of somebody who is criticizing some other devotee, that does not mean you are an association of devotees. At that point, you leave that place.
I find it difficult, personally, sometimes to get the association of devotees without submitting to prajapati.
Maybe, but if you are sincere, Krishna will give you the opportunity. Mm-hmm. No? So, you have. It's up to you. What is your desire? What actually you want? And Krishna will fulfill your desire. Now, if you know, like gossip, you will naturally like to be with people who know, spread gossip. But that will not help you in Krishna consciousness. Now, if you understand that gossip is not the best, and then you want to dedicate yourself something else to the, than to the gossip, then naturally you will be attracted to some other devotees who don't spread gossip. They are all around. You see, sometimes devotees, when they are around somebody who is spreading gossip, they get into it. But the same devotee, when he is in the association of somebody who is more serious and doesn't like, they can get into it also. The conditioning is there. The anarthas are there. So depends on what you expose yourself, the situation, you may become conditioned by it. So you may know, you may have tendency to become no political or to spread gossip. But then you have to then be strict, more strict with you, not to associate with those who like to do it also.
I don't personally think I spread gossip or political.
Nothing personal.
No, okay. Well, I'm just checking.
You know, but you are looking for association of a devotees, try to look for the qualities which you want to develop based on dharma, not based on your conditioning. No, so if some devotee likes to watch movies, right, so you don't associate with him just because you know you will get to watch many movies because you like to watch movies also. Maybe not, okay, again, nothing personal. Maybe yes. But we may associate with a devotee because we know that, say, he's very good in singing, cooking, maybe philosophy, maybe whatever. So, but we will associate with him when the situation is such that we can actually take advantage of the association, not be with him. Then when he is watching movies, then we have other duties to do. So we choose the association. Yeah? Yes, my name.
When I lived in the ashram, I was a lot younger than the other women in the Rangpurini ashram, and they were kind of like, you know, wanted to get married and thought that meant all the time, and mm-hmm. I just didn't want to kind of go there, and I felt really like alone, and I said to the woman that's in charge of us, how I feel about lonely and everything, and he said, well, associating with the body doesn't mean you're necessarily hanging out with them. You know, it means in kirtan you're associating with devotees. You know, in those, when you're actually doing the spiritual activities, that's an association with devotees. It doesn't mean, you know, of course we have a social need, so that's also there. But if we can associate in that way, and also on another point is, you know, the six loving exchanges. If you make some prasadam for someone, and even if you don't spend time with them, it's still associating with them, because that's actually, you know, there are ways, we think association means hanging out, but association can mean those things. Make sense?
Yes, yeah, that, very good point, because that's what it is. See, depends how much greedy we are, you know, for actually getting the goal of our life. So if we really want the best to get out of it, we will look for the association of those who will help us, you know, to achieve the goal. Now, we need to find some friend, we need to find somebody, some well-wisher, somebody who gives us shelter, somebody which we can, you know, have trust in, and we can progress. So we have to look up towards to actually get good qualities from. So then that will be the ideal. If we cannot find a person like that, then we may have few from whom we will be drawing the qualities which we are looking for. But we will don't draw the quality out which we are not looking for. But that doesn't mean that we will reject and criticize. Everybody has some good qualities, so maybe just for that quality, then we may become very good friends with that person and associate and to develop that quality. Based on that, we can appreciate the person very much. But we will be very careful not to draw the quality of him which we are not looking for. Sometimes it is very difficult, but as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that we should be like the bees, just to try to get the nectar even from a dirty place. So if we do that and we develop close relationship with the person, we may help the person as well. That's relationship. That's when becomes very close, intimate, deep relationship. So both can benefit. And ultimately then we can go back to Godhead. But we should not think that he is good at this, but little of this here and there, no problem, so I can just take everything from him. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that certain things we can take from his god brothers, but he specifically mentioned from whom and what. And then after that the devotees thought that he is good at this, so he can help with everything. But because of that, then there were difficulties. See, that it's because our mentality is such that we are lazy. So to get the nectar, it takes a lot of work, because you have to take little here, take little there, and then you have to discriminate between what's nectar and what's dirt. So it takes a lot of energy to think about it, and we are lazy. So then we like to see, if it's not everything nectar, then it's useless. Reject it. So we like to see things black and white. That's easy. But in between, it's much more. But it takes a lot of effort to do. You may have seen difficulties happen sometimes with some devotees and how to deal with it. So you have to know exactly what to do, how to do, based on dharma. But takes a lot of effort, because maybe I don't know, so I have to either look into the scriptures or search some answer from somebody who knows. Takes a lot of effort. It's better to say, you are nonsense, get out. And then it takes a moment, and then everything is solved. The problem is gone. You throw the baby with the water. And then you have no baby, doesn't get dirty anymore, so then you have no work. That's a nonsense. We have to know how to deal with it. Arjuna also knew exactly how to deal with the situation. That's why he was very successful. So we have to understand this principle. Okay, this happened because of this. That's the conditioning, that's the situation. So how to make it sure that that particular devotee will not come again into that situation that way? Then we will help him. But we have to want to do that. We have to have the capability of doing it. That's leadership. Then we can have the people feeling sheltered and satisfied. And it's not about popularity. It's not kind of like trying to, you know, satisfy everybody by, you know, doing some politically correct things. That's nonsense. To act based on vigyan, that's the right thing. So we have to know the nature of the people, we have to know the nature of the situation, the mood, and then act appropriately. Then people can feel sheltered. But to see something, oh, that looks better than what I have now, so then immediately reject everything and just jump for that one. Just because somebody talks, you know, nicer words, which they look more, you know, more high class or more Sanskrit or more this, does not mean that he's giving more knowledge. Somebody may explain, you know, in the verse all Sanskrit words and why this and why not that, and, you know, argue about why, you know, that devotee, why Krishna choose this word and not that word. Yes, that's nice, as academically maybe very appreciated, but do you know the meaning of the verse? That may be even more important. I had seen once an interaction. There was some girl, and then she was she was trying to tell something to her brother. I think it was a brother. And she was saying something like that. I must be go or something like that. It wasn't grammatically not correct. Now, she said that, and she was quite urgent. But the brother, yeah, that's not correct. So he corrected her. So she said it, but she said something else. It wasn't, fully correct. Again, he corrected. So she gave up and she left. He felt satisfied probably because then, see, at least I taught her how to speak properly in English. But what he completely overlooked, that she had the message to say, and then he completely screwed up. Yeah, so we have to understand the mood behind. So somebody, Srila Srila Prabhupada, he has a very important message, what he wants to give. And then if we understand the mood, then we can get fully into the mood of what does it mean to be a servant of the Lord. But if we don't see that, then we may just even start either not appreciating or even criticize. And then definitely we will not understand the mood. So we have to be very careful. Where do we get? What do we do?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama.